Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast, souping up the Homo sapien.
Thank you, yes. Hello and welcome to Level Up Human, the live podcast show about making human beings better. This is the first time that we've recorded one of these at a festival with such amazing audio in the background. We've got our own theme tune at last. We're looking forward to the day when genetic engineering and xenotransplants can actually give us eagle eyes, the heart of a lion, and the toe of a camel. We're coming live from the Green Man Festival, where some people have already been trying their hand at the spot of augmentation in the form of the shiwi, so very often peeing on that very hand. I am joined today by Lewis. Please tell us, introduce yourself.
So my name is Lewis, I'm based up in Edinburgh, I do neuroscience research, basically people pay me to look at their brains, and I also run the Science Scaly Project, so we play fiddle and do dancing.
It's really wonderful. Check it out. On my right here, we have Holly Walsh, comedian extraordinaire.
Hi. I noticed Lewis doesn't have a surname. Are you like Prince?
My surname is actually Who.
Who? Mm. Oh, that is your surname. Great. Well,
my surname's Watts as well.
Watts,
so
Walsh,
if we had all the questions.
I am a comedian. I know nothing about science. I literally flick through the science bits in newspapers because I think they're boring. So this is going to be really interesting for me.
Awesome. And we also have...
My name's Matt Allinson. I'm at Imperial College London. I actually do solar panels, printable solar panels, and hopefully unbreakable iPhones as well. I also, having spent 3 years doing it, find science very boring as well. But I am also very excited to be part of this podcast.
And we're, of course, joined by our wonderful audience here in a tent where it's not raining in Wales. Miracles. To the people at the Green Man Festival, give yourselves a big round of applause. And how we'd like to kick off proceedings, each of our panelists here have brought along a kind of news story of which they're going to tell us a little bit why they think it is noteworthy. So first of all, go for it, Lewis. What do you think is interesting at the moment?
So I had a little troll and something cutting-edge news that's come out, but a big disclaimer is that it's very, very provisional, is that someone in Ohio has claimed that they have managed to grow 99% of a human brain in using stem cells. And that's 99% of all of the different cells in a brain and up to about 4 or 5 weeks old fetus. And they've managed to mimic all of it, which is really super, really impressive. But
is that legal?
Yeah, why is this good and not just sick and wrong?
So the ethical, it's actually, the ethical aspect of it is that they argue that there's no stimuli reached in the brain. So the brain isn't conscious and it takes, it's about 4 weeks old in terms of fetus, and it's taken them about 12 weeks to develop that.
Wow.
So it's super controversial. I'm not saying it necessarily because I could endorse it. That's my political hat on. But it's certainly interesting in terms of future clinical, medical, and certainly ethical concerns about.
So do they stop it at 4 weeks, or is that just when it stopped doing it itself?
They stopped doing it themselves because essentially the next stage they claim they would need to generate stem cells for blood and the heart system. It wouldn't be able to sustain. I mean, the size of it apparently is just about the size of a rubber, basically a razor. So
I just I'm having a baby and I've got one of those apps that tells you what size your child is by different fruits and vegetables. And it's one of the most disturbing things I've ever looked at in my life. Like, I walked around with an avocado in me for like 2 weeks. That's disturbing.
Has that moment, your avocado?
Huh?
Has that altered your like relationship with avocado?
The other day I got an aubergine, and it was my baby was the size of an aubergine, and I made my husband hold it like a baby, and it all got a bit creepy. But then I had to make a ratatouille, and I had to cut his head off, and I cried. So
the thing that always puzzles me about that, bearing in mind we've got the phrase "bun in the oven," why are we not comparing these to pastries?
Yeah, like, that's much better.
A baby should be a croissant at so many weeks.
Yeah, your baby is a profiterole.
But how big will it get?
What's the
biggest?
A wedding loaf? Cake? That's huge. That's huge.
What about you, Holly? What is your new story of choice?
My new story is actually, it's disappointing I printed it out, which is kind of useful, because this is a story about a book that they've made, which gives you instructions about how to filter water, but also the pages from it can be ripped out and used to filter water, which is amazing. So they send it to people in sort of, you know, near muddy water holes, and they apparently it can kill. That's a huge generalisation on bad water, but it can kill 99% of all germs. So you just tear out the pages that you use. It's quite clever. It makes Kindles, pisses all over Kindles. That's for sure.
Quite literally, perhaps.
It does, well. Yeah.
You're kind. You do chemistry of materials things.
I do chemistry of materials and stuff. Yeah.
What's the best way of filtering things? If you're going to try and make safe water for everyone, what would you recommend?
Boiling it, I think, is the go-to foolproof way of cleaning out any like biological stuff in water. But I guess that's impractical in areas where people haven't even got basic drinking water, because that requires a lot of energy to get rid of it. But I think boiling it is the number one way of going about it. But then, yeah, I think the filtering, especially the idea of like the pages themselves being very useful. I mean, it's a lot more useful. That's like an IKEA catalogue that can then also just open out into a bookshelf. That'd be quite useful. Yes. I think that's like a really clever way of going about doing it.
This says it uses nanoparticles of silver or copper.
Oh, very exciting.
But surely silver's quite inexpensive.
Nanoparticles of silver. So silver itself is a very, very common material used for its antibacterial properties. But I'm pretty confident that the Wild West people traveling across the kind of frontiersmen in those days would put silver spoons in their water jars to keep everything antibiotic. Silver is quite famous for being really antibiotic.
Oh, like how posh people put spoons in their champagne bottles.
Exactly, yes. Which I recently looked that up, is complete nonsense. That does nothing for bubbliness. There was a study, I think, by some American academics. They looked into that. If you put a teaspoon in the top of your champagne bottle, I'm afraid that does nothing. But it will keep it's good for antibacterial properties, so there's that at least.
And fighting against vampires.
And vampire, yeah, that's... what sort of parties do you go to? Got the champagne, the vampires.
Yeah. I know they are making better and better ones. Like, they're now using... graphene seems to be ending up being everywhere. Mm. But they're punching tiny little holes in this one molecule thick thing of carbon. And they're making, like, micro filters, which could work for everything, you'd think.
So graphene is impervious to pretty much all gas. The helium can't even pass through graphene. Which leads to a rather exciting futuristic... graphene's invisible because it's so thin, but nothing can pass through it. So that leads to kind of like exciting assassination techniques where people can be suffocated by things they can't see. Implies...
You are dark.
We've got the vampire champagne parties, we've got the invisible suffocating bags. Yeah, graphene can filter everything, along with everything else that graphene can solve. Like, every problem in the world, graphene can pretty much fix.
This sounds to me like someone's making a lot of money on nothing.
But especially because you can't see it, actually. This is as close as to the Emperor's New Clothes as you can scientifically get at the moment right now.
And they are that expensive as
they
well.
They are roughly, as you need the cost of a country to kind of get one going as well.
Well, that's brilliant. Have you got any new stories, Matt?
I do have a new story that popped up. I think this week it was published. It's a group in America. They kind of travelled all around Latin America with an incredibly high-speed camera and a fake flower, which was actually a plastic tube with a flower on the front, because hummingbirds aren't very clever, and they were studying hummingbirds. And they had nectar at the bottom, and they just used this really slow-motion camera to watch how hummingbirds drink, because hummingbirds are very, very fast, very, very agile, and have to drink an intensely large amount of stuff. And so the way their tongues work, they don't do normal, like, so like a dog drinks with its tongue by sort of like making a ball and like cupping it up into its mouth, if you've ever watched a dog drink. But hummingbirds have actually, they notice they've got these tubes on their tongue that are flat when normal, and then they stick their tongues into the nectar in a flower, and these tubes spring open, which kind of creates a vacuum. So hummingbirds, these guys discovered this week, can hoover stuff up into their mouth, which kind of adds to the long list of like incredibly weird things that hummingbirds are capable of doing. And I thought would be quite useful for kind of like the next step of human evolution, because that's sort of helps make drinking games a lot easier. If you know, there's a race to drink, so, yeah, if you can just hoover up into your mouth.
And some humans already suck, so we may as well make us suck better.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's exactly the conclusion of that story. Yeah.
Hummingbirds are so much more exciting than any other bird.
Literally any other bird.
They're the best. Yeah. They're the best of all the birds.
I'm a biologist. You can't get me started on birds. That's not my favorite. Do you know a Hootson? It's a bird that climbs trees. You'd think flying would mean it doesn't have to, but it's a bird that can climb trees. And that's pretty
called?
Cool. A Hootson. It's my favourite bird. That's... Please, what? Nobody
on the
internet...
Isn't that a sauce you put on duck?
It sounds like it. Yeah, yeah. If you put hoisin on a Hootson... Let's not... This is going to create new endangered species in South America if we keep this up. Right, ladies and gents, you got how this works. So we can see science is constantly advancing, going places. How are we going to apply this to the next stage of humans? So... Holly, can you kick us off? What would you like to see humans doing in the future, being in the future?
Well, given that I'm having a baby, I would like it that when a baby is born, you could have a reasonable chat with it. Just a chat. Just, you know, like, I'd like it to speak... Basically, I think babies take a bit too long to get going. And I'd like it if, when they came out... like a horse. Look at a horse baby. Like, it comes out of its mum's bumhole or whatever happens. And
that's not what happens.
I don't know. You're the biologist, but
it's close enough.
Like, within a couple of hours, it's walking around and it's making horse noises. But human babies, they take ages.
Well, that's the great thing about humans is that we were born too early. And so we depend on our parents, that's true, but then it also means that we soak up, our brains are like sponges, and we just soak up whatever language, culture, food, temperature, everything. And then, it gives us that advantage.
So horses will never learn another language, is that what you're saying?
Well...
Yeah, do you actually get, I suppose, do we? Because you get accents. And
yeah, do you get regional horse accents?
Sure, you must do.
You do with birds,
Shetland horse.
Really?
Like, urban birds sound completely different, and they do sound kind of... grimier. It is more like rap music. They've got less syllables, it's less variation, but it's faster.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
and
amazing.
Higher for birds.
I heard that they started imitating things like car alarms and stuff. Is that true?
For some species, yeah. There's a thing called the lyrebird, and it's an amazing impersonator and pretends to be, well, unfortunately, chainsaws a lot of the time, because it's one of the things it hears in the forest, which I think must be terrifying. And when, like, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre have been so much better if there was just a bird following this thing. Like, being chased down the road by a homicidal, tiny little beautiful bird.
I'd love to. If there was one of them in South London, it would just be, this vehicle is reversing.
That's really cool. I'm intrigued by this. Okay, this is I mean this in no offence for festival, but this looks like a reasonably middle-aged festival as well. Have some of you had... Hands up if you've had children. Would you like your children talking back quicker?
That was a no from the back.
A resounding no.
That was a no from a two-week-old baby.
I would love it if that's true. We do find chimps, they've demonstrated, mother chimps use baby talk to their babies.
Really?
So we aren't the only thing to go goo goo gaga. So does Boris Johnson.
But you can, isn't it true you should talk to your kids like they're adults? Because I know people who talk to their kids like their kids, and the kids have started talking about themselves in the third person. So they'll say, like, you know, James needs a drink, rather than I need a drink, because people say, James needs a drink.
They're not talking to them in Victorian middle class or
no,
something.
No, they're from 2014, so they're allowed to talk in present day. But they talk about themselves in the third person because they're used to people talking about them in third person.
Right.
It's weird, isn't it?
Then I think also kids develop the sense of I, so isn't there the whole idea that basically until they're like two normally, kids, as soon as someone's out of the room, they don't exist. There's no conception of self, so they develop this idea that other people don't have a different mind from them.
Yeah, they call it the theory of mind, don't
exactly,
they?
Exactly,
how
theory
do you mean,
of mind. So the classic test. So the classic test for it, I think, it's called the Salyan test. It's lovely. They basically get the kids to the Smarties tube, and you get open the Smarties tube, and you go, "What's in the Smarties tube?" Audience, what should be in it?
What?
Smarties, exactly. You open it, and voila, there is a pencil, which is very disappointing, especially to children. But then you ask these children, so if your mother comes into the room and I ask her what's in the Smarties tin or box, what would be inside it? And I think the whole idea of theory of mind is that until they're two, they will still say a pencil, because they can't disassociate the idea that what they know, their knowledge, isn't what other people would know. That's something that develops from about around two, with some variants, I think. And then this is also one argument that in autism spectrum disorder, this is something that's missing. It's actually a clinical test to work that out.
So they assume all knowledge is universal, all knowledge. Wow. That sounds really cool. Well, we're with you, Lewis. Please, what is your pitch? What would you like to see humans doing? And before we move on, I should articulate point number one. Holly, you want us having kids born articulate.
Yeah.
Cool. Lewis, what's your pitch?
So I totally looked at this question with the hypothetical, if you could have a superpower, what superpower would that be? And I kind of went along the route of, I've always wanted telepathy, I'm not going to lie. Being able to connect with other people's and hear people's thoughts. But what would be really, really nice is if people could actually interact, kind of, you know, this whole idea of Google Glass and 2.0, and I think it would be really awesome if we can actually connect with each other, because I think there's some concepts that we don't have time to actually articulate. So, you know, and a lot of misunderstandings come from that, and so it would be really good for you to be able to kind of just be able to communicate on concepts rather than just words, because words can, as we all know, can sometimes carry very different meanings, especially with significant others.
But that would be great in an argument, if you could just send over your entire emotional baggage, rather than, you know, have a bad argument about it.
I'd probably still lose.
Yeah.
That's the worst bit.
Do you not think this would ruin comedy, Holly, if you kind of downloaded your set within 5 seconds to your entire audience?
And everybody got it. I think it would make the audience's experience a lot better than they have at the moment. But yeah, I don't know. I think it would be... Because I actually think words and stuff are wonderful. And you can kind of... You couldn't do sort of a pullback and reveal joke. You couldn't say... You know, the old cliche of, and then I got off the bus, or, and that was just the teachers. If people fully understood, like, the joke, the meaning of the joke, there would be no reveal at the end of it.
Yeah, is deceit not going to be important?
That's
here?
True. Yeah, and there's a big argument that deceit is really is why how we evolved such big brains is that we need to lie. The small lies make the world go round.
And effectively, Holly, you are a professional liar.
I'm a professional liar. Yeah, much like the liar bird, I make a living out of it. So yeah.
Not as great as the hummingbird, though.
Not as good as the hummingbird.
It's you and politics, really, isn't it? It's politics and comedians, the two best liars.
Yeah, of course. That's great.
There should be a mute button, though.
On politics or on?
Well, always politics, but yeah.
You can just walk away.
Or just in terms of thoughts.
I've always thought, you know, when you're on the phone to someone and then the reception goes and it goes beep, 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 and you know that they can't hear you anymore. I always think they should have that in conversation. So you just know when someone's not listening. And you're like, I won't continue talking.
I hate to get practical. So telepathy, great thing to have. But is this an achievable thing? Can we use technology in any way? Can we, like, perhaps hack the brain, bearing in mind that you are a brain man?
Good question. I think it is achievable on some basic levels. I think machine brain interface is coming into its own. Whether that's a good thing or bad thing is a different question. It's certainly going to change the face of communication. Even now, our whole communication system has changed from things like Facebook and smartphones. And I think that's just going to get more and more sophisticated. I mean, there's the whole Google Glass debacle, which is, you know, 70% effective, mostly in making you look like a... but
that's not connected to your
no
mind.
But it, I mean, there's a whole idea that essentially you're kind of using it as a tool to extend your mind, so you don't need to remember, you know,
pop quiz, you can win
people's birthdays. I mean, that's a good one. I pretty much extended my whole knowledge of people's birthdays to Facebook, and therefore people who don't have Facebook are dead to me.
It would be great to have, like, a, you know, Shazam, that app.
Yes.
I've always wanted to have a Shazam for faces. So if you know you've met someone before, it'll tell you, like, you met them at this party. you slept with them twice. You know, that kind of...
Don't talk
one party?
Yeah, one party.
That's ambitious.
It was a vampire champagne party.
Yes.
Matt.
Hello.
How would you improve humans?
Well, I just really like to, like, overhaul teeth. They just don't really work. But there's loads of, like, technology that I guess we could, like, bring to them now. If we got rid of them entirely and, like, replaced them with something else, then there's loads you can do. This is particularly coming from me. So, like, humans, I guess, when being 26 was, like, middle age, we'd have lost a lot of our teeth by now, so we have wisdom teeth come through. But, like, I don't need that anymore because, like, we invented dentistry 200 years ago. So now I've just got, like, these kind of pointless teeth kind of, like, trying to get in when the club's full. And that's causing me a lot of issue at the moment. So I thought, like, it'd be pointless if it'd be really useful if we got rid of wisdom teeth. But then, like, there's loads of stuff we could do. Because, like, so teeth are, like, designed to be worn down. But, like, nowadays, if you, like, engineer something... So I did, like, I've got an engineering background. So, like, if you make, like, an aeroplane engine or, like, a nuclear reactor wall, you put, like, some things in it that tell you if it's coming apart and, like, when you need to replace it. So, like, I don't know. Something like smart teeth. Like, we should hack teeth, is what I'm saying.
Isn't fluoride... Is that what it's
Yeah, so fluoride is, like, a really good thing that people put... So that's,
or a conspiracy. Or,
yeah, so fluoride, if your JME is the government's way of controlling your brain...
Who's JME?
He's a rapper on Twitter who really doesn't like fluoride.
Of all the hip-hop beefs,
yeah.
You used to East Side against West Side,
yeah.
Now it's
JME versus Colgate, yeah. So fluoride is really... So fluoride is actually hacking teeth. So the chemical compound that teeth is made of is called hydroxyapatite, which is the nice...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Kind of the nice kind of white shiny thing that your teeth are made of. Fluoroxyapatite is a slightly altered chemical version of the same crystal that is harder and stronger. So if you have fluoride in your toothpaste, the fluorine in your toothpaste replaces the hydrogen hydroxyapatite to make fluoroxyapatite. So that is one way that we are already hacking teeth. Which is fine. I mean, the problem with fluorine toothpaste is it meant that my back teeth have survived long enough that my wisdom teeth are now just smashing into them again.
Can we go, as a mammalogist, can we go full shark on this and not just have a continuous...
Have them, like, continuous, like, conveyor belt thing?
Because I do think have a
friend. Think how much money you'd make from the Tooth Fairy throughout your life.
Oh, she'd go bankrupt, wouldn't she? It'd be terrible for her.
Yeah. We're going to have to bail them out as well. Imagine having to do that. Okay, so that's a great suggestion. Overhauling teeth, hacking
smart
teeth.
Smart teeth.
Matt's smart teeth.
App on your phone that tells you that your teeth, like, I don't know, your floss or something. Back right needs a bit more flossing or something. Just to keep dental hygiene a bit easier. And
surely
like,
then again, that's what a dentist does. It's just basically a tooth MOT fairly frequently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like...
You want a better one.
You've got to get in that horrible chair and then somebody's like, oh yeah, so how are you doing? Like, oh, I'm going to Greenman Festival this week. You know, they just ask the inane questions and shove the Hoover in. I'd just much rather if like my phone
Would you rather use a hummingbird's mouth?
Yeah, that'd be much nicer. That'd be, you know...
Each dentist trip is a kiss from a hummingbird.
That would be lovely.
That would be really fun. I would really definitely go to a dentist more if instead of those sucky machines, they just had a couple of hummingbirds hanging around my mouth.
And it's just like the fish and the feet thing.
Yeah, that's the most delightful thing I've ever heard of.
Taking the debris out.
Yeah.
What do they do with that spit, by the way?
Well, the spit in the Hoover.
They always suck it all out, but you never know where it goes.
There's just, you know, there's some pervert waiting at the far end somewhere. There'll be some
just
seedy dungeon in Soho.
Yeah.
Do you see? If I don't know if these microphones are good enough to hear the sound of disgust that swept through this tent. we wouldn't recommend it. There's probably a tent down the road where you can get these things as well here. Okay, we've had three suggestions. There's been Holly's talkative children, as if children need more of a voice. Lewis, our telepathy by perhaps hacking the brain, maybe. And Matt, having new eye teeth with an eye rather than a eye. You know?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, audience, I think we're going to get your viewpoints on this. We've got some answers that somebody wrote down, so contestants, or I don't know what to call you, panel friends, have we got that far?
I think friends, okay. Yeah, why not?
All right, friends, you're going to go through these. Okay, Lewis, our audience here has furnished you with tons of suggestions of what we might do to improve humans. What's been your favourite so far?
My favourite is Lizzie's. She has two very good suggestions. One, worry less about questionnaires, which I thought was delightfully meta, and need less sleep so more fun can be had. I think we've all had that moment when we've realised that 8 hours sleep, or, well, more realistically, 7 or 6 if you're an academic, basically is just, it's just too much. It's time being wasted, really, isn't it?
So here's a question. Margaret Thatcher traditionally had 4 hours sleep a night, and somebody told me the other day that might have contributed to her... to her later mental decline. Do you think there is any connection between that?
Sleep's really variable. I think that's the biggest issue. Sleep's super important.
There were at least some stats suggesting that people... So we used to think that perhaps humans could be fairly malleable and we could switch to a night shift. But it does seem to take years of people's lives. The more and more data they find on this, the more it seems to knock out our general circadian rhythm. So it might not just be even lack of sleep. It might be where you're... sleep is, or quality of sleep, interruption. Again, anybody who has children, or as you're about to find, Holly, sleep is going to change for you. Do you not think so?
Yeah, I've already just experienced that, just trying to sleep in a tent at the Green Man Festival, which is impossible. But I've got that for 18 years of my life coming up. Just one relentless Green Man Festival camping experience.
18 years?
How long do they not sleep for? It's not 18. It doesn't stop at 18. For a minute there, I thought you were helping me out.
Sleepless nights whilst your son or daughter is in Greenman Festival doing good advice.
Lewis, you know a lot about the brain. So, like, this sleep is a function of the brain to an extent, is it? What does sleep do? What's it for?
The simple answer is we don't fully know. But the evidence suggests that basically sleep is a way of cleaning the brain. So, essentially, as you go through the day, not just the gunk that you consume, but then actually just the gunk of thinking and your neurons and brain cells are generating all this waste, and so sleep is actually a really good opportunity to basically kind of wash it away. So there's that. That's the kind of main purpose, seems to be quite important. If you don't sleep, you will eventually die. Did you want to come in, Matt?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, so this cleaning process of the brain as you're going to sleep, does that start just before you go to sleep? Because what's that thing when you're just going to bed and you're like, I didn't do that thing I was supposed to do today, or you're just going to sleep and you're like, I should have said that back when the guy was being really angry at me. Like, is that part of the sleeping process? Is that like thoughts that like got queued up, like the drafts on your texts? Is that part of the cleaning process as well? Does cleaning the chemicals like trigger these thoughts that you should have had 6 hours previous?
I think it's more the deeper parts of sleep when they do the cleaning bit. But then that stage of sleep is actually because your brain actually very often is very active when it comes to when you're not doing things. This is actually why taking a walk when everyone's had that experience of when you work quite a lot and you just can't really see the wood for the trees.
And so actually taking a break from it and actually taking a bit of time to do some low-level knitting or whatever floats your boat.
I only do high-level knitting.
That, of course, I got that impression about you.
What would high-level knitting be?
You use heroin needles.
Someone else's or your own?
Depends how high level you want to go.
And so, yes, those low-level things, and I guess the first stage of sleep means that your brain is still working on lots of other puzzles and problem-solving, and that's that kind of maybe the proverbial eureka moment or low-level dreaming or sleepwalking.
But not everything sleeps in the same way, because I know that we get migratory birds do a kind of micro-nap, like we're talking less than a second at a time in some cases. Wow. And you get, dolphins? They sleep one half of their brain at a time so they can come up to the surface to breathe. Maybe, Lizzie, these could be viable alternatives for us, I reckon. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, but we'll make it happen. So, okay, fourth suggestion, pimping sleep. Okay, any of you two, have you spotted anything that you find particularly interesting from our audience?
I've got a camouflage like a chameleon or invisibility. I'm not a biologist. I might have completely garbled up the pronunciation of that there.
But you are Money Works and Smart Materials. Do you think tech can help us in any way with this?
Yes. So I work in materials for printable and flexible screens. So perhaps less like a chameleon, but more like a Harry Potter invisibility cloak. So that's like a cheating invisibility technology. So that's sort of like you have a camera on your back and a screen in front of you, and you can you might be able to do a bit of invisibility like that. I know there's a lot of people that work with these things called metamaterials, which is about as much of a description of what metamaterials are as I can give you, which can so refractive index is a property materials have. So if you look into water, the light bends, so which is why things look like they're at a different level in water than where they actually are. And there are these things called metamaterials where you can have a refractive index so much that the light just bends all the way around it and then disappears and then comes back out at you so you can't see it.
Wow.
Yeah, they're really cool. But at the moment, the only wavelengths they work at is microwaves. So they don't work at visible light yet. So you can hide things from your microwave. on a more important level, hiding things from microwaves means that mobile phones work on microwaves as well. So you can make things that are invisible. So you can make your mobile phone invisible, for example.
Which
you can
also microwave.
From the mast, from the signal. If you want to vanish, if your mobile phone wants to vanish, you can surround it in a metamaterial. If you want to be unhackable for a period of time, for example.
Oh, that's cool.
That is quite, and I think it has lots of it has lots of spooky military applications because I think you can hide things from radar as well that way as well. So if you want to do all that sort of stuff, so with a lot of these things that involve invisibility, there's presumably a lot more research going on than people really publicly discuss. Not saying that I know any of it, but there's a lot of stuff going on hiding stuff from microwaves, and that's sort of approaching being hidden from visible light. So I think invisibility is sort of on the way. Whether or not
would we even know? That's the problem.
Well, that's a really hard thing about when invisibility arrives. Yeah, who knows? Because I was just wondering if there's a way you could embed that into skin. Because you're at a party and your vampire ex-boyfriend who's just come up on your face, Shazam, walks in, you're like, oh, nuts. And you just want to vroom, I don't know. In a tattoo, if you could tattoo yourself with invisibility ink, that would be brilliant.
Cuttlefish basically do this. You know the thing you're talking about, the filming behind and then projecting in front? They look at their environment and they've even been able to replicate to an extent checkerboards and stuff.
That's incredible.
It's not great, but it's still pretty amazing for a thing which is basically
giving a hummingbird a run for its money.
Yeah. Oh, for cool animals, you're going to love the final round of this. Okay.
I wouldn't play checkers on a pufferfish, though.
So, okay, we've had pimping sleep, and now that was...
That's invisibility and camo tattoos.
Amazing invisibility, camo tattoos. What do you think, Holly? Anything grab
you? I've got a very sweet one, which is more of a visual, but I'll explain it. It's basically being scribbled all over by someone... who's gone to a lot of effort on it, and then somebody else has clearly written, "Make us crave veggies," which is a mother who's desperate for their children to eat, I assume, or a father. Jill, this is Jill. But she would like children or anyone to want to eat vegetables and obviously other good nutritional stuff.
Because effectively that's what we've been doing with selective breeding. We've just been making everything taste more and more sugary, as a good thing in a way.
Vegetables.
Well, yeah, if you look at a wild carrot and compare it to the carrot we have nowadays, am I barking up the wrong tree completely here?
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard aubergines are the same within our lifetimes.
Oh, don't make me feel even worse about eating it.
Sorry, yeah, that's true. Well, they're sweeter now, so your baby is... Well, I don't know what comment that means, but aubergines used to be really, really bitter. And so if you look at even recipe books from 20 years ago, they'll tell you
to
salt them.
Oh, yeah, you had to salt them and get all the stuff out. Yeah.
No, you don't need to do that.
Really?
Supermarkets have dealt with it through selective breeding.
Well, thank goodness for supermarkets.
Hurrah!
That went down.
But is there anything you can do, you know, to make your brain crave, I guess, sort of like...
Like a kebab?
Forgive me if I'm not understanding this, but isn't there a tablet you can take if you have issues with alcohol that can help you, you not want to drink alcohol in some way? Am I wrong?
It changes the taste. So it's not so much the brain, actually, and it's just about the taste receptors, which are super complex anyway. I mean, so there's lots of variation in how people taste things. There's, I think, 10% of the population who are super tasters, for example, and so they very specifically taste bitter tastes, especially cucumber.
I hate coriander. I don't understand how anyone can say, what are you talking about? It's fine. It makes me feel like I'm eating soap.
I feel like I love cucumber for exactly the same taste as well.
Soapy cucumber.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a common, well, uncommon, but genetic variant.
Because my dad has it as well. Do you think I got it off him?
Yes, I think so. Cool.
Or you could have got it perhaps even culturally, though, because if you're growing up with your dad, you might well learn dad's right.
But my brother and my mum love it. I find it disgusting. It tastes of soap to me. Yeah, they're just doing it to annoy me.
Well, that's a good almost genetic test, really. You know, half your family like it and half them don't. Kids actually have more taste buds than adults. So as you're growing up, you essentially abuse your taste buds and they die off a little bit like cells.
And then people start eating olives.
I think the rationale is that actually, for example, things like spinach and olives taste worse when you're younger because you have more taste buds it's more intense.
Wow.
And so you grow to like the bitterness of it, I guess, or you're less susceptible to the high bits. I mean, same thing happens with bitter alcohol or alcohol.
And children are neophobic, aren't they? Because they haven't learned what's not going to kill them yet. So it's better to be suspicious of everything.
Oh, really?
Except strangers who give you food, obviously. All right, just before we go home after this evening, we're going to play a quick game. This is called Splice or Life. I'm going to tell our guest here three wonderful animals and see what kind of genes, what kind of traits what you want to nick from said animal. So first species we have here, seahorses. What would you like to see from seahorses?
Oh, male pregnancy. Yeah, that would be a good one.
Well, how do you feel about that, Holly?
Love it. Yeah. Let's have that. Yeah.
Is it compulsory? Is it only the males get pregnant, or they can choose?
Oh, yeah. Do the ladies get pregnant as well? Have they just mixed up the men and the women?
More egalitarian.
Well, for seahorses, it is only the guys, but you can choose here, Holly? It's your option.
Surely that sort of makes them the women. Do the male ones have a penis?
They make sperm.
Right. So they make sperm and they have the baby.
So they make sperm and then the girls come over and say, hey, these are my eggs.
So it's just the other way around.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, totally love that. That'd be great. I'm all aboard.
Actually, can we do an audience survey? Hands up if you would rather that men got pregnant. I would like to say it's the ladies putting their hands up for that. Really? Am I alone, guys, actually? I'm alone because I would love to carry my baby. I think this is awesome because... It's the only way that you know it's yours, really. Not fundamentally.
Well, there can be mix-ups at the hospital.
No, but because I'm an evolution biologist, and one of the most important things in human evolution was what we call female crypsis, the fact that we have doubts. It's probably one of the reasons why we have sex for fun, is as a way of trying to convince men that the baby may have theirs. There's a creature called a bonobo. And bonobos are very much like the sexy chimpanzee. And I don't mean that from personal opinion. I mean it in terms of...
Hugh Hefner.
Well, yeah, kind of. They mate over anything. They will mate to say hello, to say thank you. And the female is at her sexual peak when she's already pregnant. Because she's trying to confuse parenthood.
Wow.
So the other males are not less likely to kill the young. So against infanticide, maybe.
Wow.
So do you still want the guys carrying your baby?
Yeah, sounds amazing. I'm in.
Why? Why do you want rid of it when it's so close?
Well, I think it should be that both of you. I think it should be equality. I think that you should be able to carry a baby, or your husband could carry another baby. You know, that would be cool.
Did Junior teach us nothing? Can we take it in turns, Ciara? What do you think, Matt? Would you happily carry a child?
As well.
Yeah, that's equality for you
isn't it? So when you talk about the shared ownership thing sounds 21st century. I'm liking that. Is that Monday, Wednesday, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, I'll have it. Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays,
oh, you
have
share.
It. Okay.
Or are we talking like I do the legs and arms, you do the head and body, and then 9 months time?
I'll tell you what would be really good. If you did a kangaroo style thing where you, as a woman, you started it off and got it to a good place, and then it came out, but the men had like a pouch and they got to have it inside them and sort of care for it. Because at the moment it feels a bit like you cook the meal and then you also have to do the washing up. And it would just be nice if somebody else took over that second bit so you could have a sleep and like get, you know, have a shower and take it easy.
By
and then there was a bit more. Huh?
By the ingredients.
By the ingredients, yeah.
Yeah, I like this. Should we move on to the final creature? Okay. This is a wonderful jellyfish discovered a couple of years ago. It's called Turritopus natricula. I have to admit, the name has been changed several times. It's also known as the immortal jellyfish. What might you steal from an immortal jellyfish?
Everlasting life.
What was that?
Everlasting life.
Can I ask the child at the front? It's probably more important to them. What would you steal from an immortal jellyfish? The sting. You're both right. What about you, panel? What would you steal from an immortal jellyfish?
I quite like the jazzy see-through kind of... The see-through outer layer and then the... Sorry, for the radio audience. It's got like a see-through outer shell, but then like some quite... It looks like a glass of red wine in the middle, actually.
Sorry, the lady from the audience who's been helping us and shouted out everlasting life, is nobody going to go with that?
Do we want to be immortal?
I get bored very easily.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to the end. Bring it on.
Gracefully in a long, long time.
Gracefully, yeah. This guy's got to. Guy's got to stick around forever.
It's got a really cool way of doing it. It grows up and then it reverts to childhood. So it's we're talking eternal youth here as well.
Wow,
if you
that's
want.
Amazing.
Benjamin Button, doesn't he grow backwards?
Yeah. It's like a.
It's a documentary, it's really good.
But hang on. So how many times does this thing have to go through puberty in adolescence? Because that is not cool.
Yeah. Imagine going through puberty backwards.
And then forwards again. It's like, oh,
that's
here
kind
we
of what
go.
The menopause is, though, actually, if you
what,
really think.
Puberty backwards?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's why it sounds horrible. I wouldn't wish puberty on my worst enemy.
Right.
I mean, don't they always already say that basically the person who's going to live past, 150 or something is already in this generation? Because by the time, you know, medical science has advanced... 20, 30 years, if they can survive that much, then they can survive for the next round of advancement. And so, I mean, it's a genuine question. Would we have children? We wouldn't need to have children if we were immortal. I mean, because...
Yeah, could just find the final group and just live it out.
This has gone dark again. All right. Right, the one thing we have to do. Audience, you have to scream, shout, vote as loud as you can into our microphones for each of the motions. So, would you like to go for Holly's talkative children? Okay, a couple of votes, and they were children, actually. Perfect. We have Lewis's brain-hacking telepathy. They all thought it, that's why you couldn't hear it. We've got Matt's overhauling of the teeth.
Yeah.
All right. Pimping teeth, or getting an extra, so that's a good one. We also had from the audience, we had Pimping Sleep by Lizzie in the audience. That wasn't just Lizzie who went for that. Can we do that again? Who's going to vote for that one? I think that's a tie so far. And we also have incredible invisibility acting like a chameleon. Okay, I think it's between the teeth and the pimping sleep. So pimping sleep.
Woo!
Overhauling teeth. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, whenever we go back to the committee designing the next human, we will say to them, sleep, come on, you can do better. It's been lovely talking to you all. Hope you enjoy the rest of your festival.
That was Level Up Human, hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely, and supported by the Wellcome Trust. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.